live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to Crossroads Sports Radio. We are back on the holiday break. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined always by my man, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I want to say Happy New Year, first off, man, but I'm doing just fine considering some of my issues with my car and whatnot, as anybody knows, in my personal. But, like, no, other than that, man, I'm doing real well. And like I said, it's been a pretty trying day, but I'm having a pretty good year. So as we are 4 or 5 days in. So, no, man, great to be on, man. I'm glad you're feeling better. And I'm ready, you know what I'm saying, episode 194. So let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. Wild last couple of weeks. Went to New York City, kind of wrapping all up in a bow, I guess. Went to New York City, got to the best news of it there was I came back engaged. John proposed there in New York City in front of Rockefeller and Christmas tree to my girlfriend of 4 years. Do you realize you have a picture in a framed jersey, signed, and shoes on huge mural on the wall of four-point play of Wayne Johnson? That's like one of the biggest moments in existence. Larry Johnson's four-point play of the Pacers. So that was there. Saw that.
Right.
Was interesting. See everything else, you know, experience New York. It was great. Fly back Christmas Eve. I went up Christmas morning for Froggy, and next thing you know, boom, what it is. Good trip overall for the Facebook Live. You know, I got the photos. There you go. Some people wanted to see it. You didn't get the album, but the engagement, Rockefeller Center Christmas tree, the moment on the knee, so get the mushy good stuff out of there. So we had that there. Also, I want to dedicate this show to somebody that listened. She was always asking about my show. How is the show going? How are things going? John Day, my mother passed away. And she was a big fan of mine, obviously, and she's a big fan of this show. So
right.
I want to dedicate this show tonight to her. It's been tough the last couple weeks, but this show is, she always loved listening, checking in on Facebook or whatnot. So, Grandma, thinking about you, and the show is dedicated to you.
Absolutely.
Okay. Back to the thing, yes. Let me hear. John, we got NFL talk tonight. Going into week 18, week before the playoffs. Going to address some of the scenarios that could possibly happen. A little recap of the Antonio Brown drama. I think I said that about many times in the last few years. We got our college football talk, the national championship this week here in our backyard here in Indianapolis, Indiana. We've got some talk with that, our picks, reactions to the semifinal games and such. We've got a little bit of Pacers talk, NBA news around the league, Kyrie Irving back playing tonight on road games. And, of course, the first one he's back is against Indiana, who is shorthanded enough to where not only is there probably one Sykes, but they're probably trying to get Reggie Sykes as well to play, and D kind of myself and you go out there and play with him tonight.
Oh, man.
So we'll see on that. Purdue basketball, IU basketball, quick topic there. And then as well, WWE had their day one pay-per-view. Brock Lesnar, a new WWE champion. So
right.
Get that at the end. Into the NFL. Indianapolis Colts, you win it again. They had an opportunity against the Raiders. Not a hot start for the Indianapolis with the Raiders getting down, touchdown and a field goal to go up 10-0. Then the Colts strike back with a field goal themselves. We haven't seen the Colts have a rough start as we've seen. We haven't seen them play a bad game in the last nine. They, my and they were due for that game at some point. You'd rather get now before the wild card, the playoffs. But Colton losing to the Raiders. John, overall, not a good performance there by Indianapolis.
Yeah, all around that room. It's a game. It's a game. So, you know what I'm saying, we can all excuses that you want, you know what I'm saying, practice and all those things, COVID, all those things, you know what I'm saying, that, you know what I'm saying, Carson didn't get announced that he was going to play, you know what I'm saying, like a day before. But then the other guys came off of COVID prior to him, you know what I'm saying, you know what I mean. But on the field, you know what I'm saying, when everything's out there, like the excuses kind of have to be kind of put to the side. They looked at times I'm gonna say dysfunctional. That's not a good word. This didn't look like they were out. You know what I'm saying? They got down early. You know what I mean? A lot of things that play some of the early season things that plagued them from a team aspect trying to win games showed its ugly head again in this particular game. So preparedness. I guess you can kind of put that on Coach Frank Wright a little bit. It's kicking the nuts, right? Sorry, you know what I mean? That Carson Wentz isn't vaccinated, you know what I mean? But, again, people, like, you know what I'm saying, that's a two-way street. Just because you're vaccinated doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to get COVID, okay? So, but, you know what I'm saying, his turnaround time as far as getting on the field and practicing is still – negated because he isn't vaccinated. So there's that. On the field, they had the opportunity to win the game, did they not? Right? When you go back and look at the tape, you know what I'm saying, they had the opportunity to win. The Raiders actually came. I mean, both teams had something to you know, the Raiders actually, you know, both some teams had something to play for. The Raiders were still trying to stay playoff viable. The Colts were trying to, you know what I'm saying, I don't think they took the Raiders lightly, but I don't think they took the Raiders and then what, you know what I'm saying, what Carr has done against them, you know what I'm saying, whether whoever was at the quarterback, whether it was Luck or, like I said, Carson Wentz in this regard, you know what I'm saying, he exposed their safeties and their cornerbacks, right?
Right.
He did. He turned the ball over, but you know, saying Carr is also top four? Absolutely not. But he's also a quarterback that's competent enough to. We've seen it. You know, what I'm saying, to overcome some minimal mistakes, and still, if the team kind of keeps it close, still win games. So, just a real bitter pill the Colts had to swallow as a team. That's at the quarterback, that's the coach, that's on the defense, because, you know what I'm saying, the defense, you know what, Brandon, I'm going to pick, like I said, I know everybody expects me to pick on Carson, and I got notes where I can tell you where Carson overthrew guys or didn't underthrew them or whatever, right? Hold on, Brandon, before I get on the defense. What was the play when he escaped the sack and then try to toss? I'm like, dude, just run for another 3 yards, dude. I don't know sometimes what's going on in his wheelhouse, man. But the defense, you know, the defense has takeaway ability. They did get, I do believe, two. They registered two sacks, but that it's just not enough. They put pressure. They bring interior pressure on the opposing offense, but they don't. You know what I'm saying? But they just don't get. It's like enough pressure. It's just not enough. It's not consistent, you know what I mean? And it has to be. Quiddy Pay, he's been, you know what I'm saying, if we had to grade him as being a first-rounder, he's still, you know what I'm saying, a little bit on the C-minus, you know what I'm saying, to be honest with you. I mean, again, dude, nobody's – how can you beat your chest if you're a Colts? You know, the Colts fans are living the world of double-digit wins, 11-win seasons, 12-win seasons. Or do they not? You know what I'm saying? You can't necessarily, from a Colts fan perspective, just wrap your head around and say, "Oh, okay, great. Now if we're 9-7, and if we beat Jacksonville, we're in." Like, dude, it should never come down to the last game, right, of the season. And yes, you have a beatable
4 years in a row.
It shouldn't come down to that. So what now?
I said this is the fourth year in a row. It's come down to the final game of the season to make the playoffs for the Colts.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a bit. And like I said, in that regard, it's a bit concerning. Has there ever been an NFL team to get hot in the playoffs once the season starts, and when they had a, you know, saying quote unquote piss poor regular season? Absolutely. When you always talk, when you mean you go back and forth about the greatness or the non greatness of the New York Giants and what Eli Manning and that team particular team did, you know, saying there's some similarities there. You have a, you know, I would say C plus regular season quarterback. You know what I'm saying? And Eli, what he did as a New York Giant, you know what I'm saying? And you same thing with Carson, but you have a stellar defense. I would say the New York Giants defense is a little bit better. The 2 years that they won the Super Bowl is a little bit better than this club, but there's some similarities there. You know what I'm saying? There's some standouts, you know what I'm saying, when you think about what they had, the New York Giants had. But again, you big playmaking ability from opposing quarterbacks I think the Colts handle their business and take care of business against Jacksonville, absolutely. But going further, big playmaking ability from quarterbacks that are tad bits better than tad bit better than Carson Wentz. That should scare the Colts fans more than anything, because he can't necessarily match. And they you know, say he can't necessarily match, you know, saying fire for fire. So it's going to take everybody going to the Colts. It's going to take everybody to play their best. And that's something that they had did playing, you know what I'm saying, cause, you know, saying throughout the two, you know, so when they were on the winning streak, and then it kind of just fell flat against the Raiders. So I don't know.
Let me ask you.
It would have been nice to still try to compete. The South Division was out once Tennessee beat the hell out of Miami, but it still would have been nice to put up, you know what I'm saying, to get 11 wins and not be floating around, you know what I'm saying, 10-7 or hell, you know what I'm saying, potentially, you know what I mean, 9-8. So we'll see. But yeah, what's your question?
How nervous or confident are you in the Colts this weekend at Jacksonville?
Like I said, the reason why I ask is because here's the thing, man. I do love sunshine down there from a future standpoint, but dude, he's got more. I think he's got 10 touchdowns, maybe this year. You know what I'm saying? That offense is putrid in Jacksonville. That Urban Meyer didn't do this.
It's been bad. I said it's been putrid a lot the last couple years, 4 years, 3-4 years. I mean, my God, the only reason I ask is because the Colts lost 6 straight in Jacksonville. The last time the Colts won in Jacksonville was 2014.
yeah.
Including the Colts going down there and losing to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville lost 15 games in a row. That was their only win 1 year. But the Colts lost 6 straight at Jacksonville. And there's got to be a little bit of a sense of nerves for, like, can we go down there and actually get done this time against Jacksonville? Because you could say, well, they have a worse team this year. Hell, I don't think so. I think they had a worse team back when they were in 15. They had a quarterback then.
They got a lot of injuries. So, like, the Robinson running back, he's not playing. I know there's some other guys out on the defensive, which is not great either. It's not playing. You know, can they muster up, you know, enough offense to hang with the Colts? I don't think so, Brent. I don't even really think. I think the Colts take care of business, because nobody, they don't want to go down there and get embarrassed. It'd be very embarrassing for them to on a ride back home. Nobody, again, even if they, okay, I'll give you a 1% chance that they lose, because on any given Sunday, right, we all know that great movie. Any given Sunday, anybody can lose a game. But on that, who will want to come back to Indianapolis International? You know what I'm saying? The coach, Frank Reich, you know what I'm saying? Anybody who I give it a 1% chance, but that anybody else who's thinking the Jacksonville Jaguars is going to beat the Colts, like, dude, they just trying to sell tickets.
I thought it was an interesting stat that they haven't won in Jacksonville in 6 years, since 2014, the last time they beat Jacksonville at Jacksonville. It's not always a cakewalk, as I've heard some Colts fans say, oh, it's a cakewalk. We don't have starters down there. Well, history shows you got to play starters. And you got to keep, because this is going to, you know, these other guys are playing for jobs as well, just as much as you. So you can't shit the bed, like you said, and come back to Indianapolis. That doesn't look good for the players. That doesn't look for a good coaching staff. You know, Coach Irsay would not be happy if that's the case.
Right.
But also, like you said, you can't be putting yourself in these positions when you start, what, 1-4, 1-5, you know, and to win 8 straight to kind of put yourself back into that situation. We'll see what happens this weekend with that game. There are some scenarios, John.
Yeah, there are scenarios where the Colts, where the Raiders and the Chargers and the Steelers could actually make the playoffs.
So the Colts could be a 5 seed. So all these scenarios are if the Colts win. The Colts would be a 5 seed if Miami wins and the Chargers win. Chargers obviously plays Oakland.
Raiders.
Yep. Miami. I forget who Miami plays. Do they play... I forget who Miami plays. If the Colts are a 6 seed, if the Patriots win and the Chargers win, if the Colts are also a 6 seed, if Miami wins and the Raiders win, the Colts will be a 7 seed. If the Patriots and the Raiders go in, then the Colts will go to 7. Right now, the possible opponents could be anything from the 2 seed Kansas City, the 3 seed Cincinnati, or the 4 seed Buffalo Bills. John, of the 3 opponents, which and what? How do you rate them? Who you want to play and who you don't play at? Because you have a road game in that first round.
Right, it's a road game.
Right now they're matched up with Cincinnati.
Right.
Yes, right now they're matched up. They would be playing at Cincinnati right now.
Since you beat convincingly, right? I would say. The Buffalo Bills. I think the Colts would rather face the Bills. Cincinnati's real scary. They've got a quarterback, you know what I'm saying, who's got a big arm and can push it, right? And can test the secondary that the Colts have. They've got an offense, you know what I'm saying, that I would say just as equal. Or, I mean, I think their wideout core is definitely better than the Colts. Obviously, we have a better running back, but it's not like Joe Mixon is terrible. You know what I'm saying, as far as running the ball, because I think he averages like a little bit under 4 yards per carry, you know what I'm saying? But between Jamar Chase, you know what I'm saying, we know that name from LSU, T. Higgins, you know what I'm saying, those guys are probably the names we're going to be hearing from in the next 2-3 years as being, you know what I'm saying, potential Pro Bowlers, right? What is paper thin, right, with the Bengals is that offensive line. My goodness, Brandon, they give up sacks. The offensive line was supposed to get better, you know what I'm saying, from year over year. They gave up 32 sacks last year and got their quarterback hurt. They've given up 51 sacks this year. And though he was out for a little bit, I know he took an injury, you know what I'm saying, he's taking some punishment this year, but he's been able to stay, you know what I'm saying, in games and kind of lead this team. Like, they can't have their quarterback, you know what I'm saying, eating the turf like that. They're a little bit different team at home, playing them at home, so that's what makes them scary, right? And like I said, playing, like, the Colts, we had to play, you know what I'm saying, play them at home, you know what I mean, so I would rather, you know what I'm saying, the Colts play the Buffalo Bills. Even though, you know what I'm saying, the Buffalo Bills is, you know what I'm saying, is far from what we considered. Me and you talked about them potentially challenging the Kansas City Chiefs as far as AFC is concerned, you know what I'm saying? I think that I think that could still be there they beat New England. And they won last week's game, you know what I'm saying? But again, they have some pretty poor pitch point. They lost to Jacksonville, if anybody remembers, you know what I'm saying? And they don't think they scored a touchdown in that game, you know what I'm saying? So, but again, the big playing ability of the Bengals scares me more than the inconsistency, than the favorite inconsistency that we had for the Buffalo Bills. So if I'm the Colts, I'd rather play the Bills because again they've shown that they can beat them before this season before. So why not?
I'd rather have Cincinnati myself. The fact of the inexperience in the playoffs with Cincinnati, with
right.
Your second
sure.
year, this year, Jamar Chase can light up the backs. Put Kenny Moore on him and hope to God that the Maniac and Porter can get bridges on there. I would rather play an inexperienced Cincinnati team, but not want to put a team again at Buffalo. You've already won there a year ago for the Wild. You lost there. I think they're going to come in. If they would match up with Indianapolis, they're going to be pissed off earlier in their season how dead of a game they played against the Colts. I don't think that would bode well. It's hard to win two games against the same team in the same year in the division, in the conference. So I wouldn't want to play Buffalo. Obviously, Kansas City, I wouldn't want to just because, well, I take that back. If he did play Kansas City, you would have to rely heavily on your game plan would be Jonathan Taylor running the ball at carries. Or you would have to have a 3-1 play call with rushing over passing to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field, keep the time of possession. If the Colts do that against the Chiefs, then that would be their game plan. That might set them up. But like you said, all three teams are tough. All three teams are playing well. I would rather have the situation in right now where they play at Cincinnati, an inexperienced team, in playoffs with us, your quarterback, Wood, Josh Allen, or Kansas City. That's where I sit. John, I want to go switch gears over to my Pittsburgh Steelers. They had a big game, Monday Night Football. It was the ESPN pretty much went all out with the Big Ben end of an era.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Big
yeah.
Ben said on Thursday. Huh?
I thought Oprah was going to show up, man.
Oh,
there's
damn.
So many tears.
Oh, listen. So Big Ben announced Friday or the press conference or so that, hey, this very well could be it. The writing's on the wall. ESPN and then everybody else just ran with it that this is the final home game. Ben kind of – it's we've all talked about during the season that this was probably going to be it. I thought – I called it on Twitter and some of my buddies – I thought it was the perfect game, the perfect ending. All he comes out there, all he needs to do is get a first down here and clinch it. And Najee rips off a big 35, 40-yard run for a touchdown. It seals the victory. And then, Baker Mayfield says, hey, let me one-up you. Let me throw an interception so you can come out and take a knee to end the game. T.J. Watt had a blistering game, 4 sacks. He's now 1 away from the record, which I had to correct a lot of people saying, oh, well, of course he's going to get the record. He's playing more games than what Michael Strahan played. Au contraire. T.J. Watt's only played 12 games this year, folks. He's only played 12 games due to injury. So even if they play an extra game, he's still 4 games away, 3 games back of what Michael Strahan did. He's 1 sack away. I mean, he was making that right guard look foolish, just teeing off on Baker Mayfield in that game. TJ, if he doesn't win Defensive Player of the Year, then I don't know what the hell is going to happen because the guy should have won it a couple years ago, and he didn't win it. This year, he better win it. I thought it was perfect. Perfect ending for the game. I got some audio. Of course, Big Ben's final home game, the audio from ESPN. Press conference, John. I had some tears. I got a little dusty in my household on Monday night. But here was Big Ben.
Well, Ben, as far as last games at home go, how do you think this one went?
You know what? It's funny because it's probably not the way you wanted it, other than the win, and that's all that really matters. That's kind of been the story of my career. It's not always pretty, but we find a way. And man, did our defense step up tonight? And the guys were just so much fun to be out here. These are the best fans in sports, the best place to play. So,
what was going through your mind when Najee kind of fielded it, took that last one to the house?
I didn't think I was going to take the field again, but it's the best play in football when you're an offensive player to take a knee. And so I'm glad I got to do it one last time.
One last time. How do you leave this place, Ben?
I don't know. With a win. I'm just so thankful for the fans. My family, obviously, and the good Lord has blessed me in so many ways. We still got another game. I'll be excited and ready to go for that, but this is just an awesome place.
All week, you've been saying you've got to focus. You let yourself feel it, but you got to focus. At what point did you just let it all sink in?
Probably about now. Just the end of it, having a chance to go back out there. Just, I don't know. I'm at a loss for words. I'm just so thankful for these fans and this place. There's no place like it. So.
We know what you have meant to Pittsburgh. But what has this city, this venue, Heinz Field, what has it meant to you?
Everything. Like I said, I'm so thankful and blessed to be able to call this place home for almost half my life. In front of these fans and seeing all the signs and all the jerseys and
we love you.
And just to come out here, I don't know. I've been so blessed and I'm just so thankful.
Congratulations on a wonderful career, and it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet, Ben.
Thank you, appreciate it.
So, perfect ending. Waterworks flowing. as a Steeler fan, John, we're definitely going to miss him. As much, you know, it's been a decline in his career. I thought it was ended the perfect way.
Right.
You know, Ben came up damn near the same time I was like finishing high school, going into college. You know, so from getting to see and really being able to follow Ben's career from start to finish, the highs, the lows, you know, seeing some of the history that he's done, just getting out of plays, getting out of tackles, making plays. I think of the Super Bowl against the Cardinals where he throws that touchdown pass to Antonio Holmes, just different moments. You know, they had talking on the radio comparing Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Philip Rivers that draft class. If you had to pick the three and rank them, and a lot of people, and there was New York Giants fans, even say you would have to go based off consistency, Ben Roethlisberger, then Eli, and then Philip Rivers. Based off consistency, obviously Eli and Ben both have two Super Bowls, but Ben
right.
has more touchdowns, he has less interceptions, more yardage, but and a more consistent program. But fitting in, John, we got one more game left against the Ravens. Those scumbags up in Baltimore, we're gonna go up there.
Oh man!
If somehow Jacksonville beats the Colts and the Steelers win, Steelers are in the playoffs. I'm not saying there's a 0% chance, but, hey, Colts, you've lost six in a row. I don't make it seven because I don't want to have to sit here and have hope that the Steelers can do something in the playoffs when there might be not.
I think the Steelers and the Big Ben, Mike Tomlin, they take care of business against the Ravens. It's always a tough out against the Ravens, right? But I think they take care of business. I was going to ask you what was your fondest Big Ben memory. I don't have a fond memory of Big Ben. I think back in 2005, I got a not so fond memory of when he called. He throws the interception. No, was it a fumble or was it an interception? It was a fumble, but he did one of the worst tackles I've ever seen. But he got it done because he kept the pick six from happening, and he kept the coach basically. You know what I'm saying, from going to the Super Bowl. No, man, we can blame Vanderjagt too, right? But that was that tackle saved a score. Because
yeah.
I don't think the Colts converted. I don't think the Colts converted off of, like when they got the ball back, I don't think they converted. But yeah, that I mean quarterback making a tackle. But
yeah, so the play was Jerome Bettis to run the ball in the end zone. There were still three timeouts for the Colts. Steelers were up by three. I actually just watched this game on NFL Network two nights ago. So it was on. They show or last night. So I watched a little bit of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I actually was at this game back in my sophomore year in college or junior in college. I can't remember. And he was my sophomore. Anyways, Big Ben hand it off to Jerome because they thought, hey, we don't get to score a touchdown here. It's first and goal. You know, we're letting the Colts use their timeout. Jerome fumbles. They put the helmet, Gary Brackett, and then put the helmet right on the ball, fumbles it. Nick Harper picks it up and runs. All he had to do, John, was either go left or go right towards the sideline, and Ben was hooked. Mm-hmm. And he ran. Ben kind of kept turning, and it funneled him right at him. Harper obviously was the one that had his girlfriend stabbed him in the leg the day before, so he wasn't even sure if he was going to be able to play on a domestic issue. But then Ben makes the immaculate trip, is what they're calling it, the immaculate tackle. Steelers end up going as a sixth seed to the Super Bowl.
Look how slow he was moving. I know we don't have – look, he was moving – dude, molasses
all timber.
Moving faster.
Yeah. So I would say that's one of my memories. Probably not the top one.
Yeah.
My top one, I've got like a top three. One of mine is also the I talked about it, the San Antonio Holmes touchdown with 30 seconds to go in the Super Bowl. Just placing it over three Cardinals in the end zone. San Antonio Holmes made a hell of a play there. So I thought that's one of my top ones. And then as well as just, I think it was 4 years ago, the Christmas night to win the division over the Ravens, the pass was 6 seconds and then Antonio Brown reaches over the goal line to score the touchdown. There's no timeouts left, beating Baltimore in that. And then obviously the AFC championship games, winning those. Two-time Super Bowl champ, John, three times in the Super Bowl, never had a losing record. Never had a losing record.
Yeah.
Rookie quarterback went 15-1 his rookie year. I think a lot of people don't realize that. Tommy Maddox got hurt in the first game, and then Big Ben went out and went 15-1 that year. They were number one seed, lost to the Patriots in the divisional playoffs against a guy named Tom Brady. But
who?
Never had a losing season. That's incredible if you think about it in this day and age of football. Yeah, did he surround himself with talented people? Absolutely. You got to have a little bit of luck go your way. Consistent coaching. He only had two coaches, Bill Cowher for 3 years and then Mike Tomlin. You can go with Mike Tomlin as well. Mike Tomlin never had a losing season still. He guaranteed at least a 500 year this year thanks to the bye or the tie. So it looks like we could be 8-1. I think those are my memories of Big Ben, my fondest one. Definitely a Hall of Famer.
Without a doubt.
He's got the credentials. I've seen some people say he doesn't, which is baffling to me. He's number five, I think, in passing yards for history in the NFL. John, I thought it was a perfect way out. I know you a Big Ben hater. At least that or you're trolling me.
Not me. That's not me. That's not
so
me.
What's your thoughts on overall with Big Ben's career now as it's wrapping up?
There's always going to be somebody saying that they should have won more, you know what I'm saying? But you have to remember how competitive the AFC was during that time. You got the Colts trying to win as well. You got the Patriots trying to win as well. You got, you know what I'm saying, iron sharpens iron. You got the Steelers trying to win as well, you know what I'm saying? If I remember, you know what I'm saying, hell, if the Jets had a better quarterback play other than Sanchez, you know what I mean, they kind of, you know what I'm saying, nipped a little bit. And flirted with getting to the Super Bowl. So I'm not, now again, Brent, I'm not putting the Jets in that particular category of the Patriots and of you know what I'm saying, early 2000s Patriots and Colts and anything like that. But you know what I'm saying, you got three great quarterbacks right there, you know what I'm saying, who all have Super Bowl rings. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you can say that when we start talking. Remember, we used to be back at that old electronic company we used to work for, and we was like, well, Joe Montana has this many, and look where Marino and the stats that he had and the stats that Elway had. And you know what I'm saying? Yes, Elway has a Super Bowl ring or whatever, but again, I know they play, you know what I'm saying, but Elway and Marino play in the same conference, and so did Jim Kelly. I know Mr. Montana, but again, the AFC was so competitive that everybody wasn't going to get a ring. I would say, you know what I'm saying, think about, juxtapose that with what, you know what I'm saying, the Manning and Big Ben and Tom Brady era when he was in New England and how
– And Flacco.
You know what I'm saying, how many rings
– Those were the top four quarterbacks in the AFC for how many years?
Right, right. So, again, man, it was kind of like, I won't say whose turn is it, you know what I mean? But, you know, because again, NFC did win the championship there or two, but hell, man, the AFC, like, whose turn was it? You know what I'm saying? Between the Steelers and the Patriots and the Colts during that time. So, and you know, say it could have, hell, it could have went. You said you had to be lucky. You have to be. You also have to have great players around you. You know what I'm saying? There's no way I will ever shade the Pittsburgh Steelers organization as far as what they when they bring in talent and as far as what they bring as a coach to lead said talent. You know what I'm saying? They are always A1. You know what I'm saying? If not. Definitely. I mean, you can say it. I mean, I say it as a Colts fan. They draft better than the Colts. They put teams better than the Colts. I would even it's almost even arguable, Brandon, that they put teams better together than the Patriots. I would say Belichick's better coach than anybody. You know what I'm saying? Right. No shame to Mike Tomlin. No shame to Tony Dungy. I think Belichick defensively is better than anybody. You know what I'm saying? And then you got, you know what I'm saying, Tom Brady, the playmaker, to kind of bring, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Joku 2.0 himself to bring it all together. You know what I'm saying? You know, if anybody could, somebody would probably say, kookily, they should have won more. But, man, if you win one Super Bowl, you're an icon. You're immortalized right there. You win two, man, forget about it. You know what I'm saying? Can't nobody tell you crap. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying if you win two,
yeah, winning two, three. The Steelers, and I just saw a graphic on Twitter, most consecutive seasons without a losing record in NFL history. Number one's the Dallas Cowboys, 21 years, from 65 to 85, 21 seasons. Number two is the Patriots, 19 seasons, from 2001 to 2019. Patriots went 19 years without a losing record. Number three is the Steelers, 2004 to current. So since 2004, the Steelers haven't had a losing record in the league, which is a little tough when you talk about, John, as well, how much the free agency, mm-hmm. you know, and just how much movement that there is in the NFL nowadays. So, and it's going to suck next year for us if we don't find a quarterback, whether it be a rookie, we give a call up to Wisconsin. Hey, Aaron, come on down. You look good in that black and gold.
You know, you might as well trust. Don't you? I mean, like I said, Brandon, you trust the process of and their ability to player evaluate. You know what I'm saying? Now, once their players get into, you know, I get it. Antonio Brown for the how many years? I think he was there for 7 years in Pittsburgh or 8 years, something like that. You know what I'm saying? He kind of lost his way, right? But again, incredible Mac player that they brought in turned out to be potentially Brandon. Brandon. I know, you know what I'm saying, I know I'm dipping and dapping, but, like, listen, man, he's outside of the off-the-field crap, he's a Hall of Famer, you know what I'm saying? That nobody saw that out of him coming out of the, you know what I'm saying? I think he was, like, Mac, special team, you know what I'm saying, for whatever year he was a senior, he was, like, special teams player of the year, something crazy like that. But man, Hines Ward, you know what I mean, another great Pittsburgh Steeler who, you know what I'm saying, who crazily wasn't on the ballot. for the Hall of Fame, you know what I'm saying? Again, you trust. I mean, who else?
Antonio Holmes, Plexico Burress.
Right. So you can right. Plexico. You know what I'm saying? Again, it man, the kookiness off the field. You know what I'm saying? You can't necessarily control that. But as far as like who they evaluate, who they decide to bring into that particular organization, you know that particular person can be developed and can play. I know you don't necessarily have a whole lot of love for Mason Rudolph right now, but you know what I'm saying? I think whoever they, evaluate as far as rookie quarterbacks or even free agent quarterbacks out there, you know, you know what I'm saying? I don't think they're going to make no big trade. That's not necessarily the Steelers' way, now, is it? You know what I'm saying? I think they're going to go the route to where they're going to see what this kid Pickett might have. They're going to see even what the kid from Cincinnati might have. You know what I'm saying? Or whoever. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. None of these guys are going to be top five quarterbacks. I think Pickett might be a top seven, top ten, you know what I'm saying, the Cincinnati kid might be a second round, even third rounder, you know what I mean? But there's some talent. And I think I think as an organization, they're one of the better teams as far as evaluating the talent is concerned.
Yeah. So we'll see. We got all offseason to talk with the Steelers or what the hell we're going to do as quarterbacks and who we're going to go with. I'll be ready to see who we can get in. And just to be – I don't think it's as much Ed or John as Big Ben losing it, like talent-wise. Yeah, Father Time is undefeated. He could still throw the deep ball or throw it hard when he needed to. It just wasn't consistent for it. But also, I think you got to blame a little bit of Matt Canada in that offensive coordinator, because for the last couple of years, these little dunk plays, these little dunk passes, the screen passes, like on third and 10, we screen for 1 yard. Like, that's play calling. That's from the offensive coordinator. I don't put that on Ben whatsoever. Has he lost some arm speed? Yes. But he still showed in spurts throughout this season where he could throw the ball. I think just with his talents, they wanted to play it safe with him. And change up the game plan from what he was doing. So hopefully, if we get another new quarterback in there and we still do the same damn game plan, then that's a problem. We got to get rid of Matt Canada, who's our offensive coordinator. You got to get the ball down the field more. So we'll see on that. Steelers sack Baker Mayfield 9 times in the Browns.
Ooh.
Nick Chubb barely played in the game. It was healthy. John, what? Baker, they picked up the option for next year for Baker to come back.
Right.
There's people talking that this is Stefanski keeping Baker in there to say, hey, look, see, he doesn't get it. We're not going to pay him this money, everybody. So when we don't keep him, don't be pissed off. There's people saying that. There's also people saying, hey, you know, maybe we can keep Baker on a discounted price, because if you get rid of Baker – I mean, how long has it been since you've had a viable quarterback before Baker Mayfield? So for some people that are like, I don't know if I want to get rid of him, because look how long it's been since we've had somebody else. So the Browns got a lot of work to do to figure it out. But my God, that offensive line could not protect.
Right. I don't want to lose it on the Browns just yet. The offensive line, yes. Baker Mayfield, and you know what I'm saying, some of the things that Odell's dad had tweeted out kind of came to play, you know what I mean? Man, ESPN pundit, I heard one ESPN pundit say mention Brandon Weeden's name and Johnny Football's name in the same breath as Baker Mayfield. Listen here, man. Johnny Football, I get it, what he did, you know what I'm saying, on the collegiate level was amazing. What he did when he came to Cleveland was turd. It was shit. Okay, sorry. You know what I mean? I think they're going to wait and see what they have with a healthy, surgically repaired, off-season, you know what I'm saying, rest, full training camp, back into it, what they have with Baker Mayfield. And if he deserves the bag, you know what I'm saying, he'll get it. If not, he'll have a new address after next year. Because you don't want to go into – does that mean they don't look at a, you know what I'm saying,
you're not
second
confident
rounder?
Giving the bag,
say what now?
I said, I know you're not confident right now giving him the bag. What would his
he's kind of lumped in that Kirk Cousins. That, remember, you know what I'm saying, they Washington – they didn't love him. They liked him. So they kept on franchise tagging him. And that's why Kirk Cousins makes $1 billion damn near in Minnesota. But he's still the same Kirk Cousins from Washington. You know what I'm saying? When he was just okay, he might win you 4 or 5 games and then take a dump on you for the next 6 or 7. Baker Mayfield's kind of the same guy. I'm not saying, I don't think he has great arm strength, Kirk Cousins. I think he's a leader in that locker room. I think the fans love him in Cleveland. I really do. I think he's limited in what he can do as far as pushing it down the field and finding the targets that he's, you know what I'm saying, definitely getting to his second and third reads, right? But those are some things that could potentially be overcome. It can be with you know what I'm saying, with better preparation in the offseason. And how that kind of falls on him. If Baker Mayfield he's not going to get Patrick Mahomes money, okay? He's not going to get Josh Allen money. because he's, I don't think he's that type of tier quarterback. Those are two different tiers. You know what I'm saying? Be honest with you, but you know what I'm saying? Would you? Okay, if you are a team, I'm trying to think who would take Baker Mayfield right now if Cleveland would decide to jettison him. Okay, I'm not trying to be funny, Brandon. Next year, would you take, not knowing, they say all the quarterbacks are off the field, you know what I'm saying, somebody else drafts them. Would you take Baker Mayfield? This is based on what you, the talent level that you know he's potential can have. And knowing his ceiling as well, would you take Baker Mayfield knowing that you don't have a quarterback? Would the Texans take Baker Mayfield knowing that they have a question mark quarterback, probably one probably leaving and then probably drafting a rookie? They would take Baker Mayfield in a heartbeat. I think they would. In the short term, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying Pittsburgh Steelers in the short term too, not long term, you know what I'm saying? Would the Giants take Baker Mayfield? Absolutely. So there's room. There's teams that will pay Baker Mayfield. I think he wants to stay. I think he wants to stay in Cleveland, but they don't love him. They like him.
Would you take Baker or Tua?
Oh, man, interesting comparison there. Tua's often injured, so is Baker Mayfield here recently. But damn, doesn't Baker Mayfield have a little bit better resume? You know what I'm saying? And they put a decent team around Tua as well down there in Miami. You know what I'm saying? We must remember Baker Mayfield is like 1 year away removed from almost beating Kansas City. And I know that's like fan service, you know what I'm saying? We almost beat Kansas City, you know what I mean, type. But things kind of went south on him. I think he's hurt. I think he, you know what I'm saying, he wanted to, you know what I'm saying, hulk it up and go out there and play, be a tough football player when he probably should have been playing. Didn't want to necessarily lose. Didn't want to lose his position. And I don't think he would have, but, you know what I'm saying, that was in the back of his mind. Didn't want to lose his spot to Case Keenum. Case Keenum, because they won a game with, they won one, I think they won two games with Case Keenum, right? So, but yeah, to answer your question, I'd probably edge Baker Mayfield in that particular comparison. But again, short term, not necessarily long term.
John, everybody's seen it. Everybody's talked about it. Antonio Brown just going berserk on the sidelines, just middle of the game. Leaving the field, going onto the field in the middle of the game, saying deuces to everybody, leaves, didn't want to play. I was watching Red Zone at the time, and I thought they were panning initially to like pregame of him being in the end zone running. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And like, nope, that's live right now. I said the man's had problems ever since he took that Vontaze Burfict hit back in the AFC playoffs. When the Steelers-Bengals played. He hasn't been the same since, but just another thing with Antonio Brown. It's got to be over, right? The career's got to be over now.
Very bizarre.
You
want me to stamp it and say it's over? I had a conversation with our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, man, about this, man. He thinks he's done as well. I don't think we've seen the last of Antonio Brown in the NFL. Dude, didn't they give – how many chances has Josh Gordon been given? And he has on-the-field problems with drugs. How many times did Pac-Man Jones get a second chance with his some of the kookiness that he had in his career? I know he had a stint with TNA, right? But, you know what I'm saying, how many times – even Randy Moss, you know what I'm saying? If Antonio Brown – He's got a. You say CTE. There's people who think he's got a drug problem. I think he might have a tension problem. You know what I'm saying? He needs to go talk to a shrink. He needs to, whatever the case may be. Me personally, I think he needs to talk to a shrink and try to figure out what's really going on. If he doesn't have a drug problem or if he doesn't have a concussion problem, right? He has a tension. I need all eyes on me type of issue problem. But outside of that, this is also the same guy that tried to defraud the NFL by, you know what I'm saying, with the fake vaccination card, you know what I mean? So you're right. It's always something with them. But, you know what I'm saying, we live in some of these leagues, NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball. They're desperation leagues, man. Are they not? You know what I'm saying? If you are a great player, which I think he is a great player, I just said, you know what I'm saying, no more than 5 minutes ago that he's a Hall of Famer. He's like 100 yards. He's like 100 catches away, maybe 200, from being in T.O. They got the same, like, Pro Bowls, and they got the same, like, you know what I'm saying, receiving, like, top receiver for the year, whatever, you know what I'm saying, award. But he's like T.O. has, like, I think T.O. has, like, you know what I'm saying, I don't know. It's like 200. They're, like, 200 yards away, right? I think Antonio's in that same category. How many, and again, how many times did he get a chance with whatever team? So, but again, Antonio's got to clean up the perception, the media perception, and the perception that other teams might have of him.
I don't know if he's got it. Here's my thing. What team is going to pick up somebody that basically quit on his teammates in this game, in the middle of a game, Mike Evans, who tried to them, you know, Tom Brady. And number two, what quarterback? There's only one quarterback that you would look at and say, hey, this guy could get Antonio Brown right. This guy could do that. And that quarterback was Tom Brady. And now he just left him. So I couldn't trust Antonio Brown.
Brandon, you never know. You have a sit down with a media darling, a Tony Dungy, a Mike Wilbon, Leslie Salters, and somebody, you know, Stephen Nay, whoever, Shannon Sharp, and, you know, depending on how that goes. Oh, say hello. Depending on how that goes, man, you know what I'm saying, you know, you could be back on that field.
Right. So, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. John, we lost a legend as well, John Madden. Tough to see Madden leave us.
Yeah, it's sad because, like, you know what I'm saying, though he's been not around the game about 4 or 5 years, right, for a while, but I think maybe even longer than that. Since he's retired from broadcasting, once he said he's retired, he was done. But he was like, outside of the video game, you know what I'm saying? He was there on between CBS and Fox and even ABC, I do believe, broadcasting games and, you know, breaking down games. And even before that, he was the coach of the Raiders in Minnesota. So, again, man, great football mind, great football personality. Going to be missed. I would encourage any youth, and hell, shoot, anybody who wants to remember, man, go check out some of those YouTubes, and just, I mean, it's more than just, like, you know what I'm saying, your uncle. He's got that, like, your uncle who comes over for a holiday, and, you know what I'm saying, and wants to rap to you about sports. He's got that kind of appeal to him, right? You know what I'm saying? But he, like I said, he's a great mind. I think he possessed a great mind about the game, and like I said, you're definitely right. He's going to be missed.
Okay, so a couple of quick ad reads. When we come back, we'll dive into the college football universe here in Indianapolis.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created and dreams are born. Specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Like I said, they ship worldwide. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom wheels. They carry all the top brands and more. Check them out, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-746-7628. Or maverickcustommotorsports.com. Let them know that Crossroads Sports sent you.
And we also want to thank Wiseman Logistics. That's Wiseman Logistics. They're an Amazon delivery service. They're an Amazon delivery service partner. Their team is dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's both domestic and international. They ship, right? Call them get in contact with them at 1-877-744-6212 about the deliveries of your package, commercial and private. They are still hiring, believe it or not, even after the holidays. There's still such a rush with packaging. They are still hiring. Anybody looking for a job, go to WisemanLogistics.com. That's WisemanLogistics with the E, logistics.com.
All right, John, we are back. The Natty National Championship coming up this weekend. Number one, Alabama. Number three, Georgia. The rematch here in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium. Football is here, John. Semifinals. Looking at those semifinal games, we usually get one of the two that's always close. This year, we didn't have a single one that was close. Both of them were complete blowouts. Michigan got romped by Georgia. Alabama thumped Cincinnati as we thought they would. National title game. Right now, the odds are Georgia -3 with an over-under of 52. Georgia's the favorite, even though Georgia got beat by Alabama previously for the SEC championship. So we have an all-SEC final up here this weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know what I'm saying, the folks over ESPN are gushing over about that all-SEC final. Me personally, Brandon, I wish that things would have been more competitive for Michigan, on the Michigan side. I knew that Cincinnati was going to give up too many points against Alabama. They didn't. I mean, their defense kind of held Alabama, if you think about it. But again, they didn't have enough offense to kind of carry over. They couldn't get into the end zone. You know what I'm saying? Field goal's not going to cut against Alabama. With that being said, you said how much? What's the spread? 3 points?
Three. Georgia by 3 is what they're saying.
Yeah, I don't. Nick Saban. This is what Nick Saban does, man. I had the graphic in front of me at one point. I don't think he's had a losing season since he got to Alabama, right? I think outside the first year, maybe. It's crazy, man. This is kind of what he does. When we start talking about Nick Saban, if we have to compare it to a basketball situation, he's right up there with Knight. He's right up there with what's my guy? North Carolina's Dean Smith. He's right up there with Dean Smith. He's right up there with Coach K, man. He lives in the national championship game. And with that being said, it wouldn't matter if you had you would need more than Kirby Smart in what he has with Georgia. And even though Georgia was like number 12, like number one for like 12 weeks strong in the polls. But they're not prepared for this moment. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they are. I think Saban them roll. I think they win by 12 to 14 points.
So that's your official pick, Alabama.
Correct.
Okay. My pick. I was always told, and I always told myself, you don't make money betting against Urban Meyer or Bill Belichick or Nick Saban. So you would say Alabama is back here again to win another championship. They just beat Georgia. Business as usual for them. I could go easy, the easy route, John, and say, hey, I'm picking Alabama to win another title, yada, yada.
Uh-oh.
But I feel like I got to go with what I said before the season started, right? What kind of man would I be if I went against what I said?
You did.
I said Georgia before the season would go to the national championship and win, either Georgia or Oklahoma. Georgia's here. They're in a national title game. I liked what I saw this past game for them against Michigan, being able to bully them. Michigan tried to bully a bully. The problem is the SEC has bigger bullies than what the Big Ten has. So if Georgia can come in, be that bully mentality, if Kirby can try to be a little bit of a bully and not a little brother, Georgia's got a chance. Do I think this is going to be a high-scoring game that we saw in the SEC championship? No, absolutely not. This over-under 52, I'm going to take the under on that. There's a reason why Vegas has Georgia at -3. It's hard to beat a team twice. If anybody can do it, it's Alabama. But I put my chips on the table, you know, like a casino, you'd say, I put my chips casino at the end of the season. Said it was either going to be Georgia or Oklahoma to win the national title. Well, Georgia's here. I don't like the pick, but who would I be if I didn't if I went against what my gut said at the beginning of the season? I'm going Georgia here, minus the 3 points. So now we're going to bring in our guy. He's probably going to tell me I'm a dumbass here. Decott, what's going on?
Well, you're talking about a lot to unpack tonight. Man, we are. This is the last call before the national title game. The last call before Kyrie starts doing his thing tonight in Banker's Life. I know they have a new name, but it's still Banker's Life. So let's just start with the top thing to talk about. I'll tell you right now, Brandon, you're hearing it first. This is live and in living color.
Uh-oh.
I'm taking Georgia in the 3 points all night long. I'm gonna tell you why.
Go ahead.
This isn't just a reach, right? You know, and my boy always complains. Oh, you're just complaining. Bama's whole secondary is gone, right? Bama's has one impactful running back. The right side of the offensive line is compromised. If Georgia's going to do it, this is the year. They've got a freshman tight end, and I can't think of his name. He's about 6'5", 235. Runs about a 4.5 40. Look for Georgia to get down the seam over the middle to this kid. He's going to catch 12 balls. The back, 6'1". And inexperienced. I'm telling you now, this is going to be the game right here. If that doesn't happen, my boys win the title again. If that happens, Georgia goes away with a 24-20 win. Mark it down now. Mark the tape. Record it. Play it back. I'm telling you now. And I love my boys, but they are so compromised right now that I just don't know that after that ass-whooping they put on Georgia early in the season, they're going to be able to come back from that. The freshman receivers, I don't worry about. Those dudes are balling. I don't worry about the receivers. I'm worried about the backfield. That's my big concern. The running back, Brian Robinson, he's going to do a lot of – he's going to be a lot of max protect in the backfield. I just don't know the impact he's going to be able to have, and he's the last best chance as a running back that Bama has. They got a previous five-star, but he's coming off of an ACL, major car crash, and just not the guy we thought he was going to be. So that's my take on the Bama-Georgia game, and I'm not going to be able to be in attendance. I've got this thing about stadiums now. I'm starting to kind of be a little weary of it. So I'll be in the man cave watching. So what do you guys think about that?
I mean, I took Georgia minus 3. I hate it, but I'm not going against what I said at the beginning of the season. And I think it's definitely going to be an under game. I think we're going to get a defensive battle here. Like you said, I was thinking 2017, something like that. By the way, I got crucified on Twitter by the Michigan alums because I said – Will Anderson was a better college player, going to be a better NFL player than Hutchinson from Michigan.
Wait. You got crucified for speaking the truth about a guy who wants to be the next Joey Bosa, right? Got you. You saw him the other night, right? The dude, listen, Jim Harbaugh looked constipated and Hutchinson looked lost, overmatched and lost. That's not to even talk about. Michigan was overmatched from one. You know, they tried, they failed. So we all understood that, right? So the big deal is going to be Bama, Georgia. Does Kirby have enough stones to make a tough decision when necessary?
That's why I picked Georgia, man. I think he's sweating over it now. You know what I mean? It's like, You know that feeling when you watch, you know what I'm saying, this late era Tom Brady and they didn't give him the ball back with a minute left. You know that you know he knows how to manage the 2 minute drill better than any other quarterback right now that's still playing. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else that could manage a 2 minute drill better than him is retired or gone to all the glory. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a better coach on the other side that knows how to manage the game better than Kirby Smart. I mean, Kirby Smart, they got up – how many points they got? They was up 10 in the championship game. And all they needed, if you're going to beat Bama, you got to beat them. You're not – you know what I'm saying? You're going to have to – you know what I'm saying? Like Clemson used to do. I'm not trying to rub it in, but I'm saying like Dabo.
There's no use to. It was a win in the national title game blowout. Don't disrespect my boy, Jonathan. I'll come through this screen. I'm kidding, man. But no, you're
I'm
right,
just saying,
man.
You gotta,
they,
but I'm,
they gotta take it to him.
You
gotta take it to him.
A close game, y'all saying close game? That if it's a close game, it's gonna go Bama's way, because I don't trust Kirby in managing. Imagine it all. I really don't. I think he's a great evaluator of talent. I think he has a great staff that recruits. I think he's a great football coach. But he ain't Nick Saban. He's not. He's second best.
I'm with you. I worry as a Bama fan just because of what's gone on over the last few weeks. It's just listen. I understand there are four and five stars replacing four and five stars, but those guys that are replacements haven't been playing for a reason, okay? And and you trying to get guys up to speed the last 4 weeks of the season isn't the recipe for winning against a Georgia team that has probably five NFL players on their defense.
They do. But who got the better quarterback? Alabama got the better quarterback.
As long as they can protect him,
like I said, I think Alabama comes out the victor on Monday night.
And that's fair, and you know, I hope that happens. I just don't see it based off of what's gone on over the last 2 weeks with from injury standpoint, and then this Georgia had a great win against Michigan, and you know, you kind of propel yourself and things like that. So this is an opportunity. For Georgia, and I'm gonna tell you this is the crazy part, Jonathan, is this was the year to get Bama. This was the year.
Well, I know you've been saying it. I don't know, man. There's rumors about Kirby getting Caleb Williams, the kid from Oklahoma.
Okay. Does Caleb Williams play defense?
What Georgia doesn't have is an elite level quarterback. He would be their answer.
Caleb Williams is staying in Oklahoma. Mark it down. Mark the tape.
Oh, wow.
Oklahoma's going to – they're going to back the Brinks truck up, and he's staying.
Why? They already got a quarterback.
The kid from UCF? Yeah.
You got Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah. But
Caleb Williams already said he's not going back. That's why they signed him.
Didn't he reconsider the quarterback from UCF? I saw a report that he reconsidered.
Yeah, he went from UCLA to Oklahoma.
No. Okay. Well, we'll see. I think he's safe. We'll see. I've been wrong before, but that's fine. That's great that he'll have a great quarterback.
He's got a $6 million NIL deal waiting for him in Athens.
Yeah, and an easy loss in the SEC title game next year. But I'm telling you,
oh man,
if Bama, listen, mark this tape. Bama wins here, it's going to be a three-peat. This was the year.
Oh, wow.
I guarantee this was the year.
They had to break them up for Monopoly.
If you don't beat them this year, you're looking at a three-peat. So let's move on to NBA, man. I'm so disappointed in my Pacers.
Absolutely.
I talked to you guys about the leadership, the coaching, the mindset, all of that. We're talking about breaking something up. It all needs to be broke up. From Larry to Pritchard to, you know, to your recycled coach. It all has to go because it's not working. I'm gonna tell you guys, I haven't been to a game in 2 months.
I think Herb is fine with them wallowing in sub-level mediocrity.
Yeah.
Maybe I maybe think that if they just bring in a they just, you know, saying play their chances and back into the lottery, and you just add another young piece to this already dysfunctional unit. I don't know. What the bright spot has been, I don't want to keep on crapping on the Pacers. That's too easy. The bright spot has been, you know what I'm saying, unfortunately they went through a COVID outbreak and they've called up some 10-day guys, man. The 10-day guys, so defensively they ain't there yet. These guys hit shots. They are taking advantage of they're taking advantage of their opportunity, man. They look like, you know, little pesky guards, you know what I'm saying, shooting guards, you know what I mean? They just got to learn, you know what I'm saying, NBA defense, you know what I mean, and keeping their man in front of them and staying, you know, consistent to that. But I kind of like, you know what I'm saying, what I saw out of the – I mean, even Lance has shown a little bit of flashes, man, but you can put a bow on this season as far as the Pacers are concerned. They can't go on a 6-game win streak. It's not going to happen.
Jonathan, you know what the problem is this season? This is the wrong season to be 20-62. This is the wrong season to be 30-52.
Well, there you go. I think they'll be 30-52. I think they're better than 40 games.
No, I'm just saying that as an example, right? Because my point being is from a lottery standpoint and tanking. So this is the season, the wrong season, because there are some very good players out there. But I don't know that there's a difference-making guy. He said, whoa, if we can get in the top five, this guy can. And that's my point. This is the wrong season. So you've got to trade your assets. You had an opportunity in the summer. You failed. So you got to wait. Let the season play out. Let those guys suffer like those fans of us in Section 20 are suffering.
How about the greatness of a guy coming out, calling out his team, calling out the organization, then he wants to be the main guy, wants to be the guy, and then when you get on the center stage, a Madison Square Garden, you piss down your leg and score, 4 points?
But that's my point. I'm sure you're talking about Miles, because Brandon loves, you know, talking about Miles, so I'm sure it's Miles. I watched the first quarter of the game last night.
Mm-hmm.
The first quarter. It's disappointing to see the lack of interest, the continued complaining by our superstar all-star player. I'm gonna give you some back, Brandon. Every time Sabonis gets breathed on, he's complaining to the refs. So tired of it. I'm tired of it too. You're a good player, man. You're a good player. Stop it. You're just a good player. You are Swiss cheese on defense. You're going to go over your right shoulder. They're getting used to that. Stop it. It's time. He's a good player, but the act is getting old. Reaching your arms out, always complaining. It's enough's enough. Make all of them suffer. Don't trade anybody. They all suffer like us. Wait till July and then make your decision. Suffer like
then
us.
Then make decisions. That might be what's going to happen.
I'm dead serious. I'm pissed, and you all know how I am about my Pacers, man. But I'm tired of it.
That's probably what's going to happen. There's a deal. I know there's a deal that to send Sabonis out to Golden State, or to send, you know, saying send the Sabonis out west. If you do that, you just solidify their chances of winning the NBA title. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely.
Or even, you know what I mean? So, again, there might be, like I said, I think Herb is just wanting to play the long game and see what's going to be the best outcome. Do they bring in a young guy to help, you know what I'm saying, spark the team, or do they, like you said, do they make that deal sometime in the summer and get the best offer for themselves?
Even if you look at a spark, you're looking at a spark now, instead of 30-52, you're talking about, 35-47? That's not the spark you need. That's why you just let it be what it is, man. I mean, I can't stand it. So my hope is everybody, they sit still. They don't do anything. They let it go what it is. And let's see what happens come June.
Before we let you go, man, I want to say Happy New Year, and I appreciate you calling. on the regular, man. You know what I mean? I got to ask you, man, before we let you go, man, what do you think about the Colts' chances this weekend and going into the playoffs?
You know what? It couldn't be laid on a platter any easier for the Colts. They've got Jacksonville. They've got a pissed-off Colts team, a Jacksonville team
right.
that's in disarray. Colts by 2 touchdowns going to playoffs. And I hate to say this. I'm going to say this. Oh, man, I hope Reggie doesn't listen to this.
Uh-oh.
I think the Colts are going to go deep in the playoffs, man.
They're
a hard – and here's why. I think they're a hardened team in spite of the mediocre quarterback play that they've got. I think that defense, that offensive line, and you probably got the second-best running back in the league next to this guy in Tennessee. I forget his name, but I know he used to wear crimson in college. I can't remember his name right now. The King something. So I believe.
Yeah, now he's in Pittsburgh.
You know what? We'll talk that Pittsburgh talk next. We'll talk personally on that stuff. But I'm telling you, I think Colts have a deep run in them, man. They're hardened, man.
My sister just chimed in, man, said the Colts actually have a better road record than they have a home record. So it's weird how that is. They play better on the road than they play at home. So, but if
the
playoffs start, they got to play on the road.
Yeah. Again, I'm not a Colt believer, but this season, the way it's shaking out, I'm telling you, man, if I'm a Colts fan, who in the AFC am I fearful of? They beat Buffalo already. They thumped New England already.
Yep,
they played Tennessee tight. So why wouldn't you think?
Thumped New England. I mean, it was a three-point game.
It was a three-point game, but it wasn't in doubt. The Colts winning that game wasn't in doubt. I don't remember because I watched the game. I don't remember saying, oh, shoot, are the Colts going to win or lose? I always felt the Colts were going to win that game. That's all I'm saying. So
I'm a little fearful of Kansas City, just because of the future for Hall of Fame with Patty Mahomes can do as far as exposing the Colts defense in the secondary. But outside of that, no other team really scares me.
If you're a Colts fan, now's a good time because you're an underdog. This isn't the '95 team. Don't get going on that. But because they're better, this team is better, right? But I'm gonna tell you, man. If depending on how the chips fall, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Colts in the AFC Championship game. Not at all. Not at all.
Okay. We shall see.
We'll see. Definitely. You know, and I know you guys got other things to talk about and all that good stuff. But look, hey, I missed this call in, y'all. So we can't be having 2 to 3 weeks of a gap. We got to go a week on this. We got to figure it out. And we got to have a guest host, wink, wink, so be it. let's figure something out. I'll give all you
right.
all my agent's phone number, and we'll work it out.
All right. Sounds all good. Right. Hey, Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. You guys be safe.
All right. That's Peacock, our guy. John, I haven't said it. I've said it on Twitter and stuff, but Indianapolis, they're that team. They could get hot, and they've got the defense for it to get hot in that playoffs, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the best team. You're looking for the hottest team that can sit
right.
there and win three games or so. Maybe the Colts could do it. I've looked at putting some bets down for them to win it and seeing what the odds have been. They've been getting better, but playoffs are a different story. See what they have coming ahead. Go back to college football real quick, John. I want to ask you, the opting out rule, it's a two-part question. First part, the opting out rule, do we have a problem with that, with all these players opting out when it's just one more game that, you're not playing there with your team. Some people are on the sidelines with their players. It's watered down
right.
because they're not playing. Or they're declaring for the draft. They're like, well, let's save them from getting hurt. Okay, well, what's the difference of saving them for one game, let alone 5 games left in the regular season and opting out from there?
Right.
Are we running into a problem with the opting out, you believe?
Man, I would do it because I know where this is coming from. Kirby, Kirk Herbstreit, and my guy also made a comment about college football players. I think Kirk Herbstreit he took the brunt of it, you know what I'm saying, unfortunately. But they got, you know what I'm saying, people, the woke media, you know what I'm saying, which I have probably been a part of myself at some point, you know what I mean? He kind of went to Kirby to task because what he said. He said he didn't think college football players, this era of college football, cared about football. And then people point out that, you know what I'm saying, the corporations, I mean, the network CBS and ABC, ESPN, NBC are making billions. Well, you know what I'm saying, back in Kirk Herbstreit's day, they made millions, if not billions, as well. And, you know what I'm saying, here, you know, though he wasn't a pro player, he's gone on to have some success as a broadcaster and then as an analyst working for ESPN. We must remember, Brandon, so I kind of agree with it just a little bit, his take. I really did, man, because, like, man, you know, though it was a great game between this, look at this, Brandon. It was a great game between Purdue and Tennessee. You know what I'm saying? Remember, you know what I mean? That Blake, you know what I'm saying, great game. But how it would even better if the two players that opted out had, you know what I'm saying, it'd probably been, I won't say cakewalk, but it'd been easier for Purdue to win if two players that opted out had played. You know what I'm saying? Played for Purdue. But again, it's their rights, their choice to, you know what I'm saying, to focus on their you know what I'm saying, their next level, their next job. You know what I'm saying? They want to turn pro. I get that. You know what I'm saying? But if they don't want to get hurt, I get all those things, man. But coming from the pure standpoint of, you know what I'm saying, watching football before it became let's slap, you know what I'm saying, Crest toothpaste and Kellogg's on these kids or whatever. Again, there was commercialism back then. We just weren't necessarily aware of it. You know what I'm saying? Masculine commercialism of people making money off it. You know what I'm saying? But damn it, Brandon, don't we have NIL now? So guys are getting paid. Damn
it, well,
Brandon.
How much is this NIL making on free agency?
Yeah. Don't we also have in these bowl games, guys get swag bags? You know what I'm saying? Remember when we found out a couple years ago the guys get swag bags? And didn't we, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, guys get, and gals, I don't want to keep the ladies out. They get more than just their scholarship to cost of living. You know what I mean? So colleges essentially do pay players. Does it equal how much they bring in? Probably not. But does everybody's job? Say what now?
I said they get a food stipend as well for food.
Right. But just think about your personal job, and I'm not going to shout out your job right now. Or think about the job that me and you used to work for. We take Best Buy. Think about how much money that those stores made. Do you think everybody got a piece of the $1 million that each store makes? Absolutely freaking not. You want to get mad at the corporations and then at the networks because, you know what I'm saying, you think they're pimping kids, you know what I'm saying, to get mad at your own job too. Because they're pimping you. If that's the logic that you're using, okay. But also understand, Brandon and Crossroad listener audience. I know you do. I'm just saying that everybody who plays professional basketball, everybody who plays professional football, everybody who plays whatever, ain't gonna be the next level, the next Michael Jordan, the next LeBron James, the next Deion Sanders, the next Emmitt Smith, the next whomever. They not. Everybody's not built like that. The especially in football. The you know what I mean? So look what Herbstreit did. Okay, we're gonna pick on him since they picked on him. Look what he did. He turned his he was, you know, an average football player. He turned that. I feel like he walked off the football field and ESPN hired him day one to be a broadcaster. He's been on ESPN as long as I've been damn near an adult. You know what I mean? So he turned his collegiate career and became a pro in something. I think the NCAA has a commercial that says that. Collegiate, you know what I'm saying, athletes, nobody's going to be a pro player at next level, but you will be a pro in something. You know what I'm saying? So there's all we know there's all types of jobs and careers built with sports, you know what I'm saying? And what you know what I'm saying? It's just because I think sometimes we don't damn it, I'm quoting Dockers now. You're gonna be like, damn. I think we don't celebrate collegiate athletics enough, and we're always like, how can we get this guy to the next level? When guess
are
what?
Just
because think about Brandon, think about this. Just because Carson Edwards, remember he went ballistic in the tournament?
Yeah.
Carson Edwards did. And like now, and he got to the league, and he barely could get into a game for whatever reason. Same thing with Romeo Langford; he was Big Ten Freshman of the Year, barely can get into a game. Just because you are a stud in you know what I'm saying, in the Big Ten or the ACC, whether you play football, basketball, badminton, whatever, don't mean you're gonna be a stud in the NBA, NFL, or the Professional Badminton League when you get there. You might just be an average. You know
right.
what I mean? So I don't know, man. You know, I get guys, you know what I'm saying, wanting to focus on themselves and wanting to focus on their training, you know what I mean? But, you know, but you said it, Brandon. So, like, why didn't Bell quit when Purdue didn't start out 6-0? They didn't. They didn't start out 6-0. You know what I'm saying? He should have just, if we ain't making that championship now, I might as well just focus on myself. And he didn't. They got to a point, and then he was like, oh, okay, now, you know what I'm saying? So now the bowl game don't matter. But playing Wisconsin and you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about some of the latter games that playing Wisconsin, that mattered. That game mattered. No. So I get it. It's just right. You know what I'm saying? And the other players that opted out, it's their right. I know Ohio State had a bunch of players that opted out as well, but hell, it didn't seem to stop them because hell, somebody else was there ready to take up their place. You know what I'm saying? In their opportunity, guys, there are still some level of kids. So I'll go a little bit against what Kirby said. He said he didn't think kids didn't have love for it. Well, you know what I'm saying? The guys that opted out, God bless them. The guys that played. You know what I'm saying? And the bowl games that you watched and I watched, and then me and you were back text, they were playing balls out. They cared. They wanted to get they cherished this opportunity to you know what I'm saying, play in front of a bigger crowd, play in the Rose Bowl, play in the Sugar Bowl, you know what I'm saying? They cherished the opportunity. Play in front of the scouts that were there, play in front of the fans that were there, man. So again, man, you know, there's some credence in what Kirby was saying, but there's also I get the level of what the air, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm worried about, you know what I'm saying, my draft status and where I'm going to be, and I get that, and I don't want to get hurt, blah, blah, blah. But, you know what I'm saying, the other level of guys that didn't get the opportunity all season, they stepped up.
Yeah. Well, I agree. So we've got the between the opting out and then the NIL of NFL free agency going wherever. Caleb Williams leaving Oklahoma. Dylan Gabriel says, well, I'm going to back out of UCLA and go to Oklahoma since they don't have a quarterback in Oklahoma. It's a better option for me. Man, this is
crazy.
NFL.
Like, there's no way, man. I mean, I get Oklahoma's a better football school, but, you know what I'm saying, they must have offered him. They must have been on the phone, offered him, hey, man, can you get out here? We can offer you more, whatever. We can get you PS5, whatever. We can get you a deal, whatever. And more amenities and whatever, and he was gone. I just know, Brandon. I know we talked about this when we were at the Crossroads Classic, man. About who you were. We can talk about it too, if you want to. Who you would play for if you were a college football player. But there's no way, me personally, I would ever left UCLA Los Angeles to go to a restructured Oklahoma. There's no way. When Lincoln Riley's already gone, there's no way I would have left UCLA. But again, who knows what Oklahoma offered him?
Well, but also I want to think about UCLA for a second. UCLA's second fiddle in that city, right?
They are. But you know, Chip Kelly's gonna throw it. He's known the offensive genius. He knows to throw it around. You know, that guy, he would have got a great opportunity in UCLA. But again, it's all about what they was. It was all about, you know what I'm saying, back alley or over the phone conversation, what they offered him versus what UCLA had already.
Oklahoma already had it figured out. I think when they announced these things, I think this is like days after already they've already got a plan. Because
okay.
I think they knew Williams is going to be leaving, which is why then they reached out to Gabriel and said, hey, you want to hang out here? Old boy's not going to be quarterback, which is crazy because Oklahoma still has two other four or five-star quarterbacks, a redshirt freshman and a freshman. Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's crazy. You know? And now what about Rattler? What's Rattler thinking? Well, damn, I should have left Oklahoma for South Carolina.
Right. I should have just maybe stayed and set it out and seen what I don't know. People going to mention in the coming months, coming years, people going to be mentioning loyalty and all those things, man. But now NIL NIL didn't ruin it, but like the more money you put into it, it's going to leave a bad taste in the fans' mouths, to be honest with you.
Yep. Absolutely. So, all right, let's move on. I don't know if there's anything else pacer-wise you're going to want to talk about besides Lance's back for a third stint, 10 days.
Nah, man, if you wanted to chime in a little bit about the NBA, we can maybe talk a little bit about
that. Yeah, Lakers 4-0 with LeBron James as a center position. Should he stay at center?
So, whatever, we know LeBron is an ambidextrous player, as he can move around from point guard to center, you know what I mean? I mean, I wouldn't want him necessarily banging against on a nightly basis against, I'm trying to think who's a decent center, Carl Anthony Towns, you know what I'm saying? Or I'm not, Giannis is not a center, but he does play center, so I wouldn't necessarily want LeBron playing against Giannis or right. Joel Embiid, you know what I'm saying? But, hey, whatever Lakers need, they're middling right now around 500. You know, they are going to be judged by how far they go in the playoffs. You can kind of take, you know what I'm saying? They're going to take their chances and see what they can do, hope they get lucky, you know what I'm saying, as far as maybe win a championship. But they're not necessarily clicking on all cylinders right now. But they're a team that's trying to get the click. And definitely make a playoff run, make a deep playoff run. And like I said, LeBron is, you know what I'm saying, he's game for it. He's up to task. I think he's averaging like over 27 points a game, and this is year 19. That's crazy. But they got some consistency issues. They got some chemistry issues. You know what I'm saying? But it's still a marvel just to watch him play and put up these ridiculous stats, regardless of what position he's playing.
Kyrie Irving back tonight, first game against the Pacers. They have a lot more road games than home games left, so Irving will be playing. Obviously can't play in New York, can't play in California for road games either, but Kyrie is back. I don't think it's as much as concern as what it used to be back in the day, just because we have players nowadays that are sitting out for load management and extended periods of time already. So I don't think it's too big of an issue. Kyrie's supposed to play about 30 minutes tonight. I think his over-under on points was 19.5. I think he ends up being under it, but I think he's like at 17, 18 points tonight. I think that's all he does.
Mm-hmm. Playing against our G League backcourt, I think Kyrie will look real good. This would be a good evaluation for him to get his wind back together. I don't know how I necessarily feel about a part-time player. You know what I mean? And I don't necessarily know going further, because I don't foresee, if I had my crystal ball in front of me, I don't foresee New York changing up their rules as far as, you know what I'm saying, the state of New York City changing up their rules about, you know what I'm saying, vaccinated players, you know what I'm saying, not being able to play basketball. I don't see them changing that rule, but it's going to be real interesting if they are a second or third seed and they have home court advantage. You're going to need all your bullets, all your weapons. You know what I'm saying? As the playoffs progress, that's going to be real interesting. He's a big part of them. Everybody believes that if Kyrie played, that they would have beat Milwaukee and probably would have represented the East as far as the finals is concerned. They need Kyrie
to help them get over. Not saying that doesn't make Kevin Durant a lesser player or Harden a lesser player at all. But they need Kyrie, out there to help them get over the hump. I don't know how that works if he's not going to be able to play home games in the playoffs, then, but we shall see.
What's your thoughts on we look at the Golden State Warriors, John. Right now, they're sitting as the number one seed in the West, 29-7.
Mm-hmm.
For Phoenix
mm-hmm.
and Utah. They're about to get a huge key piece back with Klay Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
even stronger here. Thoughts on Golden State?
You just want to hope. There's no way that shot is gone away from Klay. You just hope that the defense that he used to be able to bring, so at least 75% of that he still has. He's one of the better two-way players in the NBA in the last, what we could say, 10 years, right? But, you have to understand the injuries the significant injuries that he had, that's probably not going to be, defensively, that's not going to be, it's going to be a different Klay Thompson, right? But they're kind of clicking on all cylinders. The Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins is now an all-star candidate, a reserve, but he's still an all-star candidate.
Right.
Who else? There's another piece they picked up. The kid used to play for Chicago. He played for Washington. I can't think of his name right now, but he's played
Otto
well
Porter.
For him. Yeah. Otto Porter. The rookies they had, they whether it was Kuminga or Moody, they played well for them in spurts. Wiseman, when he's been out there, he's been an intriguing piece, but but they haven't depended upon him. But he, Draymond, when he's been out there, he hasn't been his cantankerous self. So they're rolling on all cylinders with or without Klay Thompson. I like I said, early on in the season, there probably was some talk about them maybe moving one of those young pieces to bring in a Sabonis or even a Miles Turner, but realistically, they don't need them. They're playing well enough that they don't necessarily need to bring in another piece to help them contend. There's no team outside of maybe Phoenix that can kind of keep up with them out west, if you think about it. Like I said, the Lakers are still trying to figure things out for themselves. Houston, Oklahoma, lottery teams. Sacramento, lottery team. Portland, lottery team. So there's nothing really scary out there out west, to between Phoenix and Golden State. So why would Golden State, tear up the team when they're already playing so well?
Let me ask you this. Dirk Nowitzki, jersey retirement night at the Mets, which I've seen on TV right now that he's not even there for his own jersey retirement. I don't know. But thoughts on Dirk, his career, I know we've talked about during his retirement, but he kind of mm-hmm. revolutionized foreign basketball in the United States. I mean, we know it was here. But I think he kind of took it at a global level as a big face for international basketball.
Yeah, took it to another level. I know a lot of times people want to throw Tim Duncan as an international basketball player since he was born in Virgin Islands. I know a lot of times because Hakeem Olajuwon was born, I do believe, in Nigeria that he's in. But they both play collegiate basketball over here in the United States, man. So Dirk is a guy who played, who started professional basketball at age 15. In the Euro leagues, right? Grew up idolizing Larry Bird. I would hate to see a shooting contest when they were in their primes, Larry Bird versus Dirk Nowitzki. That would be a sight to see, now, wouldn't it? You have to understand the MVP, the year that they were MVP, a lot of times, yes, they beat the Miami Heat in the finals, but damn, Brandon, look at that. Look, if you go back, I wish we had a graphic. You go back and see who else they beat with the Miami Heat in the finals. They swept the Lakers in the first round. They beat Oklahoma City Thunder 4-1 in the semis. He, like I said, he was MVP. He that particular year, he played out of his mind. I shame on Mark Cuban for not necessarily finding him a consistent running buddy. I know for a long time he had Steve Nash, but like after the Nash year, shame on that organization for not finding him a consistent running buddy to help him try to get to another finals. But like, no, man, Dirk Nowitzki, much respect to him. A lot of times, man, people say Garnett's better than him. Garnett might be better than him defensively, but overall, Dirk Nowitzki's better than Garnett. As far as the power forwards of his era, you know what I'm saying? He's under Duncan because Duncan had offense and defense. But man, Dirk Nowitzki, he's in his own class. I'll say that he's in his own, I definitely said he's in his own class.
Okay. Moving ahead, John. WWE pay-per-view day one. Roman Reigns, COVID out. WWE has to change their plans. It actually was a really good pay-per-view, I thought, overall, from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird when you don't put 15 writers together and just throw them together, but apparently everybody in the back stepped up, worked together. You put on a good quality pay-per-view. You've got Brock Lesnar as your new reigning, undisputed WWE heavyweight champion of the world for another stint. I don't have a problem with it. He's a babyface right now. We're kind of going down a different road with him now. Heyman's back in line with him. I don't know what the hell they're going to do between Roman and Brock now when they meet in the future. At some point, I like what they're doing. I did see WWE did a lot of releases again today. William Regal was one of them. Scott Armstrong was one of them. A couple other people in the back were part releases. But the only thing I think, one of the biggest things I think WWE needs to figure out how to do is how to end somebody's first title reign and not make them look bad. Does that make sense? Yeah, Big E was pinned and he was, lost his title reign just like that, all because of one guy got COVID. Okay. Look at Kingston. Okay, Kofi Kingston lost to Brock Lesnar in, 9 seconds? Hasn't had a rematch at all since back down to the level. I just look at these guys that win their first world titles. But, Bianca Belair win their first world titles, but they don't know how to end it properly for them. Does that? And I think that's one area where WWE needs to work on trying to figure out how to do it correctly. That way it doesn't look like it's a big squash and it's like, what the hell we just dealt with for the last 8 months.
Right. Sometimes I think they jettison, this booker and that booker. I don't think that, he's not jettisoning the right guys. You know what I'm saying? Brother Love is still running the show back there, and so is Larry Nidus. It sounds like they're fans of squashes. I don't know why. Fans don't like it. Especially when you have a fan favorite that they've built up over weeks and months, and in Big D case, years. It isn't smart booking at all. I got no problem with Brock Lesnar going over at day one. The steam that Big E had kind of, put together going in, it was a better ride for him chasing the championship than winning. You know what I'm saying? Some of the momentum he had built up after he won, it was no longer there. And I don't know if that was necessarily all on Big E or the way he was booked. Because again, you mentioned it, but that's part of the problem too. That there's not enough.
Right.
There's not enough individual. Let us figure this out. I get it that the office wants me to lose, but let's figure out how I can lose gracefully instead of, you tell me I got to go out here and get chokeslam and that's it. That's not entertaining. That's damn near like Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan, and when he jobbed out for the, if you remember that, or even Jeff Jarrett when he laid down for Hulk Hogan. That's shades of that. That wasn't that. That was like, if I paid for that. If I pay for that at the pay-per-view or as a ticket holder, I'd be pissed, and now those companies are long gone. So WWE, they'll figure it out. before they get long gone. But they're losing viewership. They're losing fandom. I think all of wrestling technically is kind of losing fandom overall, just based upon like the book in both companies, AEW and WWE, is kind of like, what? Huh? How? You know what I mean? But I totally agree with you on, you know what I'm saying, they need to come out with a better way for guys to, you know what I'm saying, babyface to lose titles.
WWE and all their releases that they do over time. Well, AEW had one over the weekend that they had Big Swole. She went on a podcast talking about there's not enough opportunity for people with diversity, you know, with the people that are not white, brown, black, get the opportunity that there's a getting. Have her saying that, but Tony Khan, then he didn't have to, but he went out, which he probably shouldn't have, about how
right.
He of color and other people of a color of this, and the people were just released because I don't like your wrestling style. It's not good. Probably shouldn't have said that. He did catch a lot of shit on Twitter for those comments that he had. So, what's your thoughts on that?
Sometimes, man, Tony Khan can be too fan-friendly, too fan-service, and he obviously takes his show that he puts together a little too personal. Sometimes it's best to ignore what's been said. So, like, when that kind of floated my way, I was like, Big Swole is just okay. She is. I mean, that's the truth.
Right.
For Tony Khan to point that he's a minority, like, you know what I'm saying, I get it that he is, but, you know what I'm saying, Big Swole, here's the thing, though. Tony Khan, he's made Jade, who's an African-American woman. She's a big part of the show. He's made Thunder Rosa, who's a Hispanic woman. She's a big part of the show. I do believe Sonny Kiss, who's a gay man, you know what I'm saying? At one point, he was he's mid-card, but, you know what I'm saying, he's featured. He's a gay black man. He's featured. He also has a transsexual. I can't believe sometimes, man, some of these things don't even matter to me when I'm watching wrestling. It's all about entertainment, you know what I'm saying, sports entertainment anyway. I don't really care if you're black, white, or other. But, you know what I'm saying, I get it. You know what I mean? So I don't really think Big Swole, if we were talking about WWE and some of their practices over here and how guys were booked, you know what I'm saying, but we're talking about AEW. I don't necessarily think she has a leg to stand on. She just has hurt feelings, sour grapes. Because she was released. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that there's a lot of opportunity that kind of goes, there's a lot of opportunity in that particular locker room that people of color, whether they be Hispanic, black, gay, or trans, whatever, they, you know what I'm saying, minorities, just put it to you like that, they get opportunity. We also have to remember, Brandon, I know we're kind of short for time, that the wrestling business is a buddy business as well. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it is. Bookers, buddies of bookers, with, you know what I'm saying, not just with the owner, you know what I mean? That's what. So if you ain't in the click behind the curtain, you might not get, you know what I'm saying, the spot that you want. But again, man, the matches that I saw Big Swole and the time she wrestled for AEW from AEW Dark, and even the shows that she were on between Rampage and Dynamite, she's just okay, man. I'm not saying she's a terrible performer, but she doesn't move the meter for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that's what Tony Khan saw.
Okay. Okay. You got anything else, John, before we wrap it up?
Nah, man. I'm kind of glad that we are back. I know we text back and forth a little bit. I did want to offer my condolences on the passing of your grandmother. I also wanted to congratulate you. I know it's weird. I know it's weird, you know what I'm saying? Congratulations for you, you know what I'm saying, getting engaged to the love of your life. Want to miss your Merry Christmas and all those things. Happy New Year. Outside of that, man, you know what I'm saying, if you want to close it out, you can, man.
Yeah, okay. I want to thank our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick and Resources, as well as Wiseman Logistics, Wiseman Logistics. Without your guys' sponsorship, it wouldn't be where we'd be. First show of 2022. Bigger and better things going on this year in 2022 for Crossroads Sports. Hoping with the COVID situation during the summer will kind of calm down, we can get out and do more things this year. Looking forward to that. We had a great opportunity. We didn't have a great opportunity at the Crossroads Classic. Got to talk to a lot of different people. Got to see Coach Brandon Brantley, speak to him. That was great as well. So we've got a lot of big sporting events coming up now. We got obviously the college football national championship this weekend, and we've got NFL playoff. What they're going to do? We've got the NBA starting to heat up. College basketball is heating up as we approach March. I mean, my God, the conference has scheduled to start. So a lot more coming. A lot more. Can't wait. Happy New Year, everybody. We had a great Christmas as well. And that's all I've got. And John, and as I take a comment from you that you give to everybody else. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.